Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Caught him. Gets up. Caught. Broken. Intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Let's get right to it. The Giants did release some news today, and I will read it right off of the press release the Giants sent out, courtesy of Michael Eisen and some quotes from head coach Tom Coughlin and Jerry Reese. And John Mara, the Giants owner, have made a big decision. They decided to move on from Perry Fuels, their defensive coordinator, and from Peter Ginta, their cornerbacks coach. And let's get right to some of the quotes here, Lance, before we take your calls at 201-939-4513 here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Here's the quote from Tom Coughlin. These are two outstanding men and outstanding football coaches. It is very hard in this business to find men of that caliber and are do both of those things. They're not only good football coaches, but outstanding human beings who are trustworthy, loyal, and honest. Perry and Peter are all that. No one person is responsible for what happened in this year. That has to be loud and clear. If there is only one person responsible, it is me. It is not Perry Fuel. It is not Peter Ginta. Both of them are outstanding football coaches in their own way. The simple fact of the matter is, in the circumstance that we find ourselves, change is necessary. That may not be the most eloquent way of saying it, but that is what I am confronted with. The hope always is invigoration. You are not going to stimulate. You are going to stimulate, excuse me. It is with great deliberation over a lengthy period of time throughout a thorough investigation and evaluation of what went on that I came to the conclusion that change was necessary. There are no hard feelings on my part about anything that anybody has done. The hard feelings are the six wins. That is the reality. It is unfortunate, but it is true. So I think, Lance, what that tells you is that this was not a decision that Tom Coughlin took for granted. It was a very difficult one for him to make. It's one he wishes he didn't have to make, but based on the overall performance of the defense and the 6-10 record, he felt it was something he had to do to try to get this team better and improve them in 2015.
And it was a difficult decision, as you just alluded to, John, because at the bottom line is these guys have been with the organization for quite some time. Perry Fuel going back to 2010, he helped the Giants win a Super Bowl, and then Peter Ginta has been with the organization since 2006. So even Fuel goes back to the days with Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville. So these guys have had a lot of ties to one another over these last few decades, but like last season, the Giants evaluated everybody and they realized there needs to be some changes that have to be made to the coaching staff, given the fact that the Giants are trying to make a push back to the playoffs. And last year they made a change at the offensive coordinator position. This year, obviously, they needed to address defense.
And obviously, I'm sure you'll call up and say, are there going to be any more changes? Who are the candidates? Well, right now, the Giants have not said there are not going to be any more changes. They have not said there are going to be more changes. As far as I understand it, I will go by what John Mara and Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin said last week, that the evaluations are taking place, and we'll see what happens. But they'll now look around. They have all their options open in terms of who they want to bring in as a defensive coordinator. We've talked about it all season, Lance. There are a lot of players on this defense that are free agents, so there's certainly will be a lot of different personnel on this team next year as well. And they hope they can turn around a defense that struggled this year. Let's hear from Giants owner John Mara. He talked about the struggles the defense have had when he talked to the media last week.
Our defense did not play well this year. I mean, there's no secret about that. When you finish 28th or 29th, whatever we finished, they had opportunities in a lot of games this year to make a key stop at the end of the game, and they didn't do it. So there's no question that that has to be a focus going into next season.
And John Mara then spoke about who would be making the decisions regarding the assistant coaches, and as it turned out, it was head coach Tom Coughlin.
It has always been the case in this organization that the head coach makes the final call on assistant coaches and whether he needs to make any changes or not. You don't tell a head coach that's been around as long as he has and who's had the success that he's had and who has the respect around the league that he has, that he has to make certain position changes. He knows better than we do.
And Tom Coughlin did make those decisions. Greg, let's go to cut number 115 next, 115. This is Giants head coach Tom Coughlin talking about the Giants defense and some of the things they actually did well this year and some of the reason this decision was so difficult.
Don't forget, there are four major areas that our defense is in the top 10.
Can you imagine being fourth in the league on third down? We are. You know, turnovers, red area, red zone. All year long, we were in the top four or five in the red zone. Sacks. You know, how'd we all get all the way back in sacks? We went forever without any sacks. We're fourth. You have critical areas of defensive football. Quite frankly, the numbers in those areas are outstanding. Now, the other numbers are not. I agree. I don't have a problem with that. But I think you got to balance things off when you start talking about don't throw it all into one bucket because it doesn't belong there.
And there you have it, and that's why it was such a difficult decision to make, Lance. And he talked about some of the good numbers for the Giants defense this year and some of the things they were good at, but there were a lot of things that the team was not very good at. And I'll go through some of the numbers right here, and these are the things that I'm sure Tom Coughlin wants to improve on in 2015. 29th in yards per game allowed, 28th in yards per play, 30th in rush yards per game allowed, worst in the league in rush yards per play. So in terms of allowing yards per carry, quarterback, running back, the Giants are the worst team in the league. And, you know, you talk about the good red zone defense, 9th in the league, the good third down defense, 4th in the league, 2nd in sacks per pass attempt, good numbers, 9th in takeaways, also a 10th in takeaways, excuse me, with 26, also good numbers. But what counteracts those, Lance, and I think this is why I think some of those numbers are good, but the overall performance maybe not so much. Third most pass plays of 20-plus yards with 62. Seventh most, tied for seventh most, pass plays of 40 or more yards with 13. And second most runs of 20-plus yards in the league with 17. This defense has given a big play after big play after big play, and in the end, that's one of the big reasons these changes today are taking place.
Well, you just hit it right on the nose, John. Big plays obviously has been an issue for this defense over the last few seasons, and they needed to put a halt to that. Turnovers can only do so much, and under Perry Field, they've been very opportunistic some seasons. I mean, they've been up there, as you threw out the numbers, and Tom Coughlin alluded to, they were tied for 10th this season, so they've been able to take the football away, but when you don't get those takeaways, you know, you have to find other ways to put a stop to the opposition, and a common theme throughout the course of the season was the ability to give up that big play, whether it be on the ground, whether it be through the air. The other thing that I noted based on last season's defense, John, compared to this season's defense, now last year, if you recall, they did a great job against the top rushers, the individual players right on the ground. Last year, only two players against this defense had over 100 yards. That was D'Angelo Williams and Ryan Matthews. You bring up the numbers from this season in terms of the individual rushers, you know, that number increased. You have LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, Lynch, and Wilson in the same game, and Murray again. So a number of guys had big games on the ground.
And if big plays was problem 1A, big problem 1B has to have been the rush defense. And they simply did not stop the run consistently all year. When you don't stop the run, you don't get in third and long, it makes it more difficult to rush the passer, and everything tends to fall apart. And if there's one thing I think, Lance, that has to get better defensively for next year, if the Giants want to take steps in that direction, it is stopping the run.
Stopping the run has been the blueprint of this defense in years where they've been so successful. You go back to the Super Bowl runs. I mean, one of the things that clicked was their ability to run the ball on offense as well as their ability to stop the run. So that is going to be an imperative thing that they're going to have to get right as they move forward with a new defensive coordinator and some new faces on the staff. And they've been able to do it before, John. And as long as they maintain together as a unit, there's no reason why they can't get back to that stage.
And I just want to echo what Tom Coughlin said about these two guys. Perry Fuel has been an absolute pleasure to work with over these past few years since he's been here. He's a good man. He knows his football. I know some of you guys aren't happy with the performance, and it's a performance business. I get that. That's why the Giants made the move they did, as Tom Coughlin said in his quotes. But they're good men, and they're good guys, and it's really tough to see him go. And especially Peter Ginta, who I frankly was very surprised about. You guys have heard me talk about him on the show before. I'm a big member of his fan club. I think he's a very good football coach. He was obviously defensive coordinator for the Rams back in their Super Bowl days towards the end of that run. And I think he's done a good job with the corners over the past few years. This year, there was simply a ton of injuries at the cornerback position, Lance. And really, the last 5-6 games of the year, he made the best out of a secondary that was with two guys off the streets and Mike Harris and Shockey Brown. And he cobbled together a mishmash cornerback crew after there's top three of his top four corners got hurt earlier in the year, and he did the best he could.
And I think part of that, John, is the fact that these guys were in practice over the last few weeks, so they became more and more familiar with the system and more familiar with what Ginta was asking them to do. It takes a few weeks. Once you pull guys off the street or you bring in new faces, you know, they're all of a sudden not going to digest this system. So it's no surprise that it did take a few weeks for everybody to click at the end.
And now the Giants will hit the search for a new defensive coordinator, but of course, Lance, coaching isn't the only thing that's going to help this defense. It's better play from the players on the roster, and there's going to be some new faces like there are every year on this defense. You have a lot of free agents. Jason Pierre-Paul's a free agent on this defense. Anshar Roll's a free agent on this defense. Jaquan Williams is a free agent on this defense. Walter Thurman's a free agent on this defense. The two other veteran safeties, Quinton Dempsey and Stevie Brown, are free agents on this defense. So there are going to be a lot of decisions that are going to be made, and there are going to be a lot of new faces, even in the starting lineup, when the Giants take the field in 2015.
And that's what tends to happen every single offseason, turnover on rosters because of salary cap restraints. And I'm sure, John, when they evaluate their free agent group and they determine who they want to bring back, who they want to bring in terms of new faces, I'm sure depending on who they bring in as a defensive coordinator will influence the type of players they bring in. Perhaps they go to a different scheme. Right now, it's purely a game of speculation. Nobody knows who's coming in, what they're going to do, but clearly the defensive scheme that you want to run influences the type of players that you want to bring in.
And obviously the personnel right now on this roster was designed for the 4-3. That's what they've played here since Tom Coughlin's been head coach, and I'm not saying they're definitely going to stick with that, but right now the way the personnel's oriented, it is towards a 4-3 defense. Whenever you make that switch from a 4-3 to a 3-4, there's a lot of work that goes into making that sort of change, and usually teams almost take 1 year to do a step back, and it takes a couple years to get that new personnel to make that type of switch if you want to do it. So if you're thinking going to a 3-4, usually, folks, that's not a seamless process, Lance. It takes some time to make that conversion simply from a personnel standpoint.
And especially with the linebackers, because now you're going to be moving another guy into that linebacking unit, so you have to concern about chemistry and so forth.
Well, in the 4-3, the primary and most important players on the field in your front seven are your linemen. There's four of them. In the 3-4, it's a little bit different. The linemen serve as space eaters, freeing up the linebackers to make plays. So it does alter your priorities when you're putting your personnel together on defense.
The positive is you have a player like Devon Kennard, who has been in so many different schemes.
And he has played the 3-4 outside linebacker.
Multiple positions, so you have some versatility there.
No question about it. All right, folks. I know you're excited. I think I've kept you waiting long enough at 201-939-4513. And just one other thing. I know you guys a lot of times, like yesterday when Tom Rock was reporting that Perry Fuel was going to come back, you know, and I say, guys, it's just a report. I'll read it. I'm not going to confirm it or deny it. Who knows what's going to happen? The Giants aren't confirming it. And a lot of you guys out there roll your eyes and say, oh, that's just Schmelk, you know, whatever. That's why reports are reports, folks. Until it's official, it's not official. And hopefully that's a valuable lesson everyone can learn. Based on what happened today and what the news was on Monday. So let's get to the calls at 201-939-4513. Marco in Connecticut is up first. Marco, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John and Lance.
Marco, welcome back
to
the show,
Marco?
My friend.
How's everything?
I'm doing well. John, yesterday when I called you, the last part of my call got cut out. But what I was going to say, and it's interesting that we're talking about these changes today. Over the weekend, we're watching the playoffs, and I was so jealous of the what the Panthers are able to do on defense, and even the Lions, what they were able to do on defense, the pressure they bring. Both teams have dominant players on those defenses. But I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, I wish the Giants could come out next year and have that type of defense where they're just you know, nasty against the run, and they're just there on every tackle. And here we go. So now we're changing coordinators. And I'd like to pick your guys' brains for a little bit. Last year when Kevin Gilbride retired, the name that popped up right away was Mike Sullivan. And I think that happened because everyone assumed with Eli where he was in his career, we would keep the consistency for him.
Right.
No one talked about Ben McAdoo.
Correct.
And the even thought of switching to a West Coast offense. And even in the offseason, you guys know this, you were taking calls, how Eli Manning is not Aaron Rodgers. How is he going to be able to run this West Coast offense?
That's correct.
I got to say, guys, I don't think a 3-4 defense is out of the question. I don't. And I know it may take a little bit longer. But if you look, they really changed a lot of parts on that offense. There's going to be some consistency here on defense. But, you know, JPP And even Beeson now with his injuries, there's some different type of decisions that maybe even a day ago we didn't foresee. Who knows if they want to come back, and depending on the defense or what the coordinator is and what type of scheme they're going to run, if these types of players are going to be on the team. But I'm just thinking out loud with you guys. If we just look at personnel that we have here, am I crazy to think that Jonathan Hankins could be a 3-4 nose tackle? I'm not a coach. And then alongside, if you just play along with me, you have Robert Ayers and JPP as the ends. And then behind him, Jamel McClain and John Beeson, who have played in the 3-4 before as your middle linebackers, with Kennard, and put Kennard anywhere, but put Kennard on the outside, and Demontre Moore as a rush linebacker. They're doing it in San Francisco with Aldon Smith as a rush linebacker. I think Moore could play that role. What do you think?
I think the picture you put together is a decent one. It's funny. Carl Banks and I had this conversation earlier, and he kind of – he dismissed it when we had the conversation, to be quite honest with you. He doesn't think that, you know, look, think of it this way. JPP is a 4-3 rush outside linebacker, right? You turn him into a 3-4 end. All of a sudden, his pass rush becomes a secondary thought. He's a run stopper in that situation. That's Robert Ayers left Denver to come here because he didn't want to play as a 3-4 defensive end. Demontre Moore, if you put him as a 3-4 outside rush linebacker, there are going to be situations where he's going to have to cover. Do you want Demontre Moore out there covering people in the flat and covering tight ends? So those are things you have to measure. Do I think Hankins would do okay as a 3-4 nose tackle? Based on his size and his strength, I think he'd survive in there. Carl Banks thought he was a little tall to play that role. He's not low enough to the ground to create that sort of leverage. But look, Marco, is it out of the question? They could try to do a thing with the 3-4? No, I'm not going to veto it and say it's impossible. But again, that is a big change, and it's not going to be a quick turnaround. Just like, frankly, it wasn't a quick turnaround for the offense. We were taking phone calls the first 5 weeks of the season talking about how Eli's never going to make it work in the West Coast offense.
That it would take a few weeks till everybody gets a feel for one another. Yeah.
Just one quick thing then. Last year, we didn't talk about Odell Beckham with that first pick, and we know how well he fit into this offense. So now that we know that all changes are possible, it's realistic to think about some type of linebacker, impact linebacker, then at that number 9 spot. And I know we're going to be getting lots of calls today, and I'm so pumped up to talk about this. If Spagnuolo is in the conversation, and you got to think his name is going to pop up, of course it is, this is not the same personnel that Spags was used to coaching with us and even with the Rams. We don't have the same type of defensive ends that can get to the quarterback. I'd love for him to come back, but I don't think – he is the only candidate that's, there's somebody out there that we're not talking about. That's it, guys.
All right, Marco. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate the call.
And remember, Steve Spagnuolo is under contract with the Ravens.
Correct. Right, the Ravens have to give permission for anybody else to speak with him. That's number one. And I agree with what Marco said. Last year, he's right. You know, nobody threw out Ben McAdoo's name, John. So for all we know, there's a defensive coordinator. There's an up-and-coming prospect, a guy who's paid his dues. And now he's in a position where he could be elevated to a DC. Anything is on the table right now because the Giants are going to explore all of their options.
Did anybody have any idea who Terrell Austin was before he became defensive coordinator for the Lions last year?
No, he was a defensive backs coach for the Ravens.
But if you talk to even the biggest football fans, they're like, well, who's going to be the next defensive coordinator?
Wasn't a household name.
No one would have thrown Terrell Austin out there being the next guy.
Which is what we get back to, the fact that it could be a secondary coach.
It could be anybody.
A defensive lineman coach elsewhere that could all of a sudden have a name popped up here and there.
And again, we know who the hot names are, folks. And right now, the Giants just made this move. And who knows who they're going to talk to? I've seen names on, Paul Schwartz reported already, Vic Fangio, who still was under contract with the 49ers, despite the fact Jim Harbaugh's not their head coach. So he's under contract. Let's put him aside. Mike Nolan was a defensive coordinator who was Giant connections. He was with the Falcons. They let Mike Smith go. Yep. So who knows what's going to happen with him. But again, he was under contract with the Falcons. So these are all names people are throwing out there, folks. All I'll say is this. It's speculation right now, and your guess is as good as mine, to be quite honest with you. At this point, nobody knows.
Absolutely. And all the names that you threw out and that the reporters have been throwing out, they have ties to the Giants. That doesn't mean that the Giants are not going to look outside of the organization or outside of the family tree to determine what the best fit for this team is right now.
Back to the phones at 201-939-4513. Shane's in New York City. Shane, what's going on? Shane, you there?
Sounds like
we lost Shane.
Man of very few words.
Shane, give us a call back. We'll put you right up. Let's go to Anthony in Maryland. Anthony, you're up next. What's up, pal?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are you?
What's up, Anthony?
What you got?
All right, I just a couple of pick your guys' brains real fast.
Yeah.
One, the offensive line. I would love to see Brandon Scherff out of Iowa be our first pick. I think he's a monster. He's a road grader in the matchup with Jim Schwartz.
Well, I was looking at Kuiper's big board, and he has him as his top offensive lineman. I think McShay's mock draft had him going somewhere towards the bottom of the top 10. So right now, and again, a million things can change after the Senior Bowl combine and all that sort of stuff, he would be one of the top offensive linemen around. And he's projected kind of as a Zach Martin type, where he played tackle in college, but some people think he might fit in better as a guard in the NFL. So that's the type of player you'll look at with him coming at Iowa.
Right. I was watching some videos on him, and I just think he's a monster. He's a real road grader. He's big. He's physical. He's strong. That's just the offensive line. As far as the defensive coordinator position, I would really, really love to see Pepper Johnson get a shot at being a defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. He's coached Brett through Bill Belichick, through Bill Parcells. He's been with Belichick before he went to Buffalo for many years. I think he would be a great candidate to restore that Giants physicality on the defensive line, just basically physical defense, period. What do you guys think about maybe Pepper Johnson getting a shot?
Well, I think Pepper Johnson is a good football coach. He obviously has connections to the Giants. Right now, I believe he's still under contract with the Bills, as is that entire staff,
yeah,
despite the fact Doug Marrone left. So that's number one. He's a guy that has Giant connections, so I'm sure the Giants will look at all their candidates. They'll decide who's best for them. Do I think Pepper Johnson? I know Carl Banks has been kind of pushing him on Twitter a little bit. I know it was Carl Pepper, obviously, close from his time here with the Giants, and Carl thinks he's an excellent coach. And if Carl Banks thinks he can coach defense, then I'm not one to disagree with Carl Banks. Let me put it that way.
And I'll throw this in real quickly before we let you continue. You look at what the Bills' defense did,
yep,
this season. The numbers jump right off the page in terms of what Jim Schwartz was able to do, as well as Pepper Johnson, who's the defensive lineman coach. That defensive line had a knack to get to the quarterback this season. They were up there among the top five teams in sacks. So that says a lot about what that staff did.
Right. I think just, you know, as far as, you know, he coached defensive line, I think we just need a different philosophy as far as getting to the quarterback with our front four. A new voice, a new ideas, new scheme. Just basically brand new everything, which I guess they're doing now that Purdy Fuel is gone, which is cool. And one more throw out there before I let you guys go. JPP and Antrell Roe, I think honestly they should let Antrell Roe go, being that he's on the downside. He didn't have a good year this year. He's 32 years old. He's slowing down. I just think it's new time for some new blood to be back there. Resign JPP. I mean, I think that's the way they go. But if they bring back Antrell Roe, I wouldn't be angry, because he's a leader. He's a captain. They follow him. Everybody loves him. He's a brother to everybody. But I just think it's time for new blood to be back there, just a younger, faster, more athletic defense.
All right. Appreciate the call.
Thank you,
my friend. And I'm happy you brought up Antrell Roe, because Antrell Roe actually was on Sirius today on Bob Papa's show.
Yeah.
Right after the Perry Fuel news broke. And I thought it was very interesting how he said, look, he didn't think, you know, Perry deserved to get fired. And as a captain, as a leader, you like to hear him say exactly what he said, that, look, as players, we didn't get the job done. And this is on us. And as the players, we did not do a good enough job. And, yeah, I mean, it, like Tom Coughlin said in the press release, is this on one guy? Is this on Perry Fuel? Is this on Peter Jinta? No, there's plenty of blame to go around. And Antrell Roe stood up as a leader should, and took a lot of the blame on his shoulders and on the shoulders of his fellow players.
Well, when you look at the defensive coordinator position, as we were talking about earlier, and the last caller was saying about bringing back players, letting them go, I'm sure the coordinator and the scheme is going to influence the type of,
yeah,
personnel decisions that are made. So right now it's too early to tell. The Giants are still leaving all of their options open. And repeating what John Mara said at his season-ending press conference, he said they want both Antrell Roe and JPP back, but like anything else, it's got to be at the right price, because even though the Giants do have some flexibility, you want to still make improvements to this roster, and if you lock up two guys and they take up a great deal of the cap, you're not left with as much flexibility.
No doubt about it. And one other thing about Pepper Johnson, by the way, since he coached in New England and they run such a variety of defenses, I mean, they run 3-4s, they run 4-3s, they switch back and forth over the years, he probably would have comfort coaching in either one of those two systems. Again, if that's some way the Giants do decide to explore. Again, he is under contract with the Bills, so let's not throw out any names. These guys are the property of other teams, so we got to be careful.
Well, and I'm sure, as Carl Banks would say, he's seen his fair share of football during the course of his career. So I'm sure Pepper That's Johnson correct. Can adapt to depending on what type of a scheme they want to
let's
run.
Let's go to Derek in Atlanta next. Derek, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you, Derek?
Doing well, Derek. What you got?
Well, you know, first I wanted to start by saying, you know, the definition of insanity, everybody knows that, right? So I'm glad the Giants decided to make some changes because, you know, just doing the same thing over wasn't going to be good enough. Steve Spagnuolo, I think, is an assistant head coach. So I'm not sure whether he looks at a defensive coordinator position as a step up. And
it's a good question. I don't know either.
Well, he has two spots in Baltimore. He's the secondary coach as well as the assistant head coach. But listen, that's a good point you bring up. And once again, Baltimore has to grant permission for him to speak with anybody else. So there's a lot right
yeah,
now
I
up
think,
in the air.
You know, you're saying these coaches are under contract. I think any position coach to probably get permission from their team to explore a DC position if it came available. I wanted to say, talk about Perry Field. Perry Field got fired because basically he didn't do a good job. I mean, you can look back at the Dallas Cowboy game and that, you know, Tony Romo at the end of the game where he's sitting back there for 7 seconds, not only for that one play, but then he comes back, makes no changes, doesn't rotate, doesn't blitz, and lets it go back there for another 7 seconds and wins the game. You know, I mean, those decisions, I think, in the Colts game when they had that, you know, blunder and guy goes open, wide open with everybody else is like a running a fire drill. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen this year with Perry Fuel. The Seattle game, just the quarterback in the round, I mean, come on, guys. I mean, at a certain point, you just got to assign blame. You know, so he, you know, some of the statistics about sacks, that's nice, but it just wasn't a good enough job. You know, I believe Tom Quinn is probably going to be next. You can't go year by year and having one of the worst, you know, special teams in the league.
No, but Derek, hold on. The Giants special teams was not one of the worst in the league this year. Far from it.
John, when the beginning of the year, I think, you know, if you go back to the games, there was probably out of the first 7 games, probably 5 of them had a special team blunder on it somewhere. Block, punt, or something went wrong. They can't – every year something goes wrong with the special teams. At the end of the game – I mean, last game, then we get a punt block at the end of the game.
Well,
I mean,
keep in mind, Derek, I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. That was the first block punt in Steve Weatherford's career. So, you know, you got to at least put things in perspective. He had never had a block punt prior to what happened
against
Philly.
And I don't think
Philly.
Jeff Eagles had a punt block.
I don't remember that
Steve
happening.
Steve Weatherford either. But I'm saying someone has to assign blame.
Yeah, well, but I don't think special teams was a big Derek. Look, they were the second-best kick coverage team in the league. Punt coverage is also pretty good. You like to get a little better in the return game, but they had a slew of returners here in the offseason. Everyone either got hurt or they couldn't perform in their spots. Once Odell Beckham got put in as punt returner, the punt return game was pretty solid.
You know, it's just my opinion. You know, I hear a lot of people's opinion that Perry Field should return. You know, it's my opinion that Tom Quinn needs to go also.
I got you.
I'll make a couple more on another point before I go. You know, Tom, with Perry Field, he never saved anything at the end of the game where, you know, he never saved the blitzes. You know, show a team something different at the end of the game that they didn't see in the first 4 quarters. He ran the same defense. You know, if you watch Todd Bowles, and the one thing that you notice about his fourth quarter, at the fourth quarter, at the end of the game, he was coming. He was coming with all multiple type of blitzes. He would run, you know, cover 2 most of the game, and at the end of the game, he would run cover 2 trap. So those type of things is what you need from your next leader. I don't know who it's going to be, but, you know, I just wanted to get those points out. And look at Eric Fowler also as an offensive lineman. He can start out as a right tackle, and then when Will Beattie leaves, he can move over to left.
All right, Derek.
All right, Derek. Thanks for the phone call.
We'll obviously start looking at draft guys once we get past the college football season's not even over yet.
Way too early to get into that. Yeah. I mean, they have to have the senior poll first to start the evaluation process.
Let alone the combine.
Yeah, I mean, I know the guys who look over the draft for a living start to send out the mock drafts the minute the season ends, but we got a lot of football, a lot of off-season activity to get through before we enter that stage.
Jameis Winston, by the way,
he did,
basically declared. So there
you
go.
His father at least said that he's going to declare.
Number 9, Jameis Winston. Make it happen. I'm kidding.
Do you really want to start new phone calls on this program? Is that what you're looking? Because you just put the key in the ignition.
I'm just joking.
If they weren't on speed dial right now, they are now.
Well, clearly, if you have the number one need for this team, it is quarterback.
Well, that goes without saying. I mean, do we really need to revisit that?
201-939-4513. Obviously, I'm joking, everybody. Relax.
Yes.
Calm down.
A little sense of humor.
Get off of Twitter. Kashawn, Maryland. Kashawn, what's going on?
Hello, John. Lance, darling. How are you?
Doing well, Kashawn. How's everything with you?
2 days in a row of Kashawn. I feel blessed.
Wow.
I know. It worked out because we had a 2-hour delay here in Maryland. You know they can't handle snow.
Oh, come on.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank Perry Sue for his contributions for Super Bowl 46. That being said, I am absolutely ecstatic that he was let go. I've told all the Kaufman haters out there, I don't know who forced his hand, or maybe it was on his own will. Good for him. I am so glad that he decided to make a change. It was much needed, and I am excited. And I think what Kaufman needs to do, and I think because I have 2 master's degrees, I'm qualified to tell Kaufman how to do his job. I think he needs to go out west. And I think he needs to interview somebody from Arizona, Seattle, someone who has a top-5 defense, maybe an assistant, defensive coach, defensive back coach, somebody who's probably not a defensive coordinator, who's a position coach. Bring him in and talk to him. You can talk to Spags, but to be honest, I really don't want Spags. He really didn't have much success after he left the Giants when he went to the Rams and he was terrible there. So I don't know. I never like to go back. I always like to move forward. So I would love to bring in someone who's young, fresh, with new ideas to really rejuvenate this defense. So that's all I have. That made my day when I read that this morning. So it's very exciting. I can't wait to see the candidates they bring in. So I'll talk to you guys. Thank you.
All right, Kashawn. Thanks for the phone call.
By the way, I want to go back. I'm sorry, Lance. Go ahead.
No, continue.
I was going to say something going back to what Derek said about Tom Quinn and special teams. I don't have the audio ready. I can cut this up and have it ready for a later show. But I will at least read Tom Coughlin's quote to you. He was asked about special teams last week at the end of your press conference. I'm just going to read it. It's lengthy, but, I'll get through it here. The question, what are your thoughts on the special teams? This is Tom Coughlin's answer. The area where you're dissatisfied is that we didn't cover punts very well, and I think there are a couple reasons for that, and our return game was just a little better than average. But if you look at the body of work, we improved in every statistic in every area from 2013 to 2014. And, of course, you can't go without saying our kicker had an outstanding year. He kicked a 53-yard field goal at the end of December at MetLife Stadium. Okay, it was 50. It's normally 15 degrees. But it still happened, and the guy did a good job with all those things. We had the outstanding kicks, a variety that we're prepared for. Who knows when you're going to need it? I called it historical. Let's kick off from the plus 35. When have you ever done that? I've never seen that one done, and we recovered the onside kick and the other one against San Francisco with that little middle kick where Mark Herzlich pulled the ball out. We tried to get the hideout play in the other day. That was the fake punt that they ended up Weatherford all outside. They had the weird formation. When you're pushing the buttons, let's try to score this way. I'm not going down on the way things are coached and the variety of things that are ready to go. We thought we had a bunch of returners here, and all of a sudden we started losing them. Preston Parker, who had some problems with ball security, ends up being the guy, and he's a tough son of a gun, but he had to take the duty pretty much all over himself. Over the course of the year, I think with Beckham in the punt return area, you saw Reuben Randall back there. Reuben was there a year ago, a guy when you think you're in a game, that's a fair catch game. Reuben is going to catch every ball and is going to give you great ball security. I think we could anticipate being better in the punt return area in another year. Our kickoff coverage was outstanding. We've been very good at that. There are always ups and downs, and certainly like to have better field position. We talk about field position all the time and turnovers from our special teams outfit. We got one in St. Louis, and that put us up 10-0, and that was a very nice way to start it. We certainly would have liked more. So a mixed bag, but it sounded to me, based on that quote, that he was more happy than unhappy with the job the special teams did.
Well, he mentioned Josh Brown. Josh Brown missed 2 field goals this season. One was blocked. He had a career year, and he's been relatively consistent since he's come here.
In fairness, the one against Jacksonville was a killer.
It was, because you lose by a point. That could have certainly been the difference maker. However, if you also didn't allow those return touchdowns, those were difference makers too. So it's easy to pin it on one play.
Right.
There were a lot of things that broke down over the course of the game, and I'm sure everybody on the coaching staff would certainly admit that. The other thing to note with respect to special teams, and this to me is the biggest improvement, they gave up 9 return touchdowns last season, which was a franchise record. Now, granted, that included defensive scores as well as special team scores. However, 3 of them were on punt returns. This year, just one, and that was the Ted Ginn return in week two. Since then, they were solid. I understand they had the block punt return against Philly, but I'm talking about a legitimate punt return without any blocks or any bells and whistles, and they only had one this season, and there were no kickoff returns. So there were a handful of breakdowns in 2013 compared to 2014. The coverage was much better this season.
So 201-939-4513. Just wanted to get that out there. Let's go back to the phones and go to Jeff in Rhode Island. He's up next. Jeff, what's going on, pal? Jeff in Rhode Island, Greg. Let's go here. Line three.
Jeff, you there?
There you go, Jeff.
There we go, Jeff.
Yeah,
what's happening?
Okay. Yeah, how you doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Good. I'm doing okay.
That's good to hear.
I'm surprised to see the notice on the website today about the Perry Fuel being fired. But, you know, the thing I have in my question is, you know, as Coughlin only has another year to go, who's really going to be interested in coming here to coach the Giants defense for a year?
Well, you're assuming he's only going to be here another year. I don't think that's a guarantee, Jeff.
Well, how much, I mean, is, you know, is it going to be for five more years? I mean, it just seems like there'd be a short window of opportunity for someone to come here if they were, you know, looking to make a name for themselves is what I'm trying to say.
Well, but if it's a young guy, Jeff, keep this in mind. Let's go the hypothetical route. They bring in a young guy. He's got a first opportunity to be a DC. Yeah. Even if there is some shakeup, let's say, down the road, if that DC does a solid enough job, you don't think he's going to get other offers if he has to leave?
Or, frankly, Jeff, yeah. If it's a guy, let's say, on the older side that's more experienced, what happens if, you know, a guy like Mike Nolan looks around the league and says, oh, man, Nolan wants to hire me as their defensive coordinator? It's either unemployment or taking the job. Which one do you think you'd like better?
Yeah, if it's unemployment, I can understand that. But, you know, why would anybody get on this notion that Spags is going to want to come back to the Giants and rescue everything? And, you know, another issue, I mean, I know there were plenty of guys that got hurt on the Giants' defense during the course of this season. But, you know, hopefully some of them will come back at 100%. But there's no guarantee of that. And, you know, what the hell's going to change? If you get the same cast of characters out there and you get a different coach, it's like, so what?
But you're not. You're going to have a lot of new faces, Jeff.
You need more talent on the defense.
Well, and I think you're going to have a lot of new faces. We talked about all the guys that are free agents. They have the draft coming up. They have money to spend. I think you are going to see a lot of new faces out there.
Well, okay. Well, I hope we do. I hope we do have a hell of a lot more talent because we certainly need it. And I'll get back to you at some point in time so we can discuss some of the free agents that may be available. And you know, I'll get back to you maybe after the Super Bowl. So you guys have a good day, and I'll be following all the developments. So
all right, Jeff.
I'll talk to you
Sounds
later,
good, Jeff.
Have a good day.
Appreciate the call.
Enjoy the playoffs, my friend.
So he's going to spend the next few weeks. He's going to tally up the laundry list. He's going to put together all the candidates, and then he'll call us back and reveal all of his top-notch candidates, whether it be players or coaches.
Yeah, and again, people online, it's never too early to talk about draft guys. No. When the evaluation process hasn't even really started yet for, you know, teams without the Senior Bowl yet and the Combine, anything we say now would be speculation and, frankly, uneducated. And would you rather have us just randomly throw out names when there's not enough information available to give you good information? I don't think that's good for anybody, to be quite honest with you.
Well, and the other thing to keep in mind is, remember, the free agency period, John, happens way before the draft. The draft is much later. So when you talk about the Giants' needs, hey, right now we could talk about needs left and right. But then come free agency, you patch up some holes, you fill in some voids, you beef up your depth chart. The needs that you think are apparent right now are not as necessary a few months down the road. So that's why I think it's premature to start talking about draft picks, because when you talk about draft picks, yes, I understand the Giants' philosophy is best player available, but at the same time, fans like to speculate about needs. The needs right now may disappear in a few weeks.
And, of course, the strategy always here in this building, as Jerry Reese likes to say, is best player available.
Yeah.
So, and they don't know who those players are yet because they don't have all the information necessary to make that
correct
calculation. 201-939-4513. Nugs is in Minnesota. Nugs, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What's up, Nugs?
Doing well, Nugs. How's everything with you?
Everything is cool. I just had a couple things I wanted to say.
Sure.
First of all, this isn't really football related, my first thing. With this Stuart Scott passing, it just reminded me how much I love you guys. You know, y'all are like the straw that stirs the drink.
Oh, I appreciate that, Nugs.
Well, thank you,
you
Nugs.
Well, I
appreciate that.
And Nugs, I can't tell you, Lance is not as cool as the other side of the pillow.
See, Nugs, I thought when you...
Lance is my guy, man. I'm happy that I was also happy to be able to see his face. He looked like a little wise guy. Like I want to play cards with him or something.
All right, we'll move on from that. I don't know what
you'll
what
be
type
the first.
You'll
be the first that wants to hang out with him. It's okay.
Yes, he has to unfortunately deal with it on a daily basis. So you're fortunate from that regard, Nugs. But what I wanted to say was when you said you didn't want to go the football route, I thought you were going to want to break down the Minnesota Timberwolves because he liked the Knicks. They're on a 12-game losing streak last time I checked. Nobody needs more company in the losing brigade than John Schmelk.
Full
right
tank,
here.
Baby.
I was hoping you broke that down.
I'm glad that they got rid of the cap space so that Phil can do his thing. You know what I'm saying? I want Melo to step up, but, you know, they had a whole bunch of bad contracts and stuff they got to get rid of. So you got to tear stuff down to build it up. So I'm a huge Knicks fan also, so I'm looking forward to next year. I'm not even watching basketball this year.
I don't blame you. Neither am I, though, because it's pretty bad.
Second of all, I wanted to say I blew taps for Perry Fuel this morning. He did bring us a Super Bowl, but like you guys know, I've called in a couple times on heated mode about Perry Fuel and said that we needed a change, and you know, you guys toe the line and stayed real diplomatic about it or whatever, but now that it's happened, I'm not going to be one of these fans who's going to call in and jump on him. You know what I'm saying? Jump pile on the guy. I mean, he lost his job. He's unemployed. I felt the change was coming, so it came. That's my second point. My third question, and I'll take this off the line. You know how they were talking about with Chip Kelly, how he was bringing this new, fresh offense and blah, 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 blah. The NFL hasn't seen it before, this, that, and the other. And to an extent, you know, it worked last year. We kind of caught up to it a little bit this year. I feel that any defensive coordinator who comes to the Giants will be happy to come to the Giants because he knows he has an offense who's going to put up points. It's easier to be a defensive coordinator when you have an offense that's going to put up points now. Remember, Perry Fuel was hamstrung at the beginning of the season because the defense had to basically hold down the fort for an offense that wasn't getting it done in the red zone, an offense that wasn't potent, an offense that wasn't putting up points. So a lot of those games, if we were putting up 26-30, we would have beat Seattle. We would have beat, you know what I'm saying, we would have beat a few of these teams that we lost to and would have been playing meaningful games at the end of the season. So Perry Fuel did have to fall on his sword this year. I don't think he did as bad a job this year as he did last year. I actually think he did a great job this year, but like I said, and a lot of callers said, it just became too vanilla in the fourth quarter. There was nothing left in the tank that I didn't see him calling something that was, you know, any game-changing calls or whatever. Now, this is my question, and I'm going to take this off the line. Let's do the 46. Everybody's got the 4-3. Everybody's got a 3-4. And I know this is like some mad scientist stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's mad, all right.
I'm glad you prefaced it like that. It saved us from having to say anything.
But let's bring back the 46. I mean, come on now. At least like a package or something. Like, you know what I mean? Because I don't think the NFL remembers how to handle it. It'll take them at least 8 weeks to figure it out again. You know what I mean? I don't know. What do you guys think? And like I said,
thanks,
happy holidays, and I hope you guys stay blessed.
Happy
Same
New
to you,
Nugs.
Appreciate
buddy.
That.
Here's the problem with the 46 defense. When the 46 defense was being used by the 85 Bears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Buddy Ryan, all that stuff, it was a running league. Teams played power football. They played two tight ends. They played a fullback. They spread them out now. You're not that 46 defense against three or four wide receivers, you can kiss yourself goodbye. Adios. You're going to get killed.
You better have a lot of good cover guys.
Killed. So, Nugs, I love you. That is some mad scientist stuff. Emphasis on mad.
Yes. He's been speaking of stirring the pot. Boy, he's really been sitting around and
stirring
the pot.
Well, right now, Nugs is right in the middle of that polar vortex in the Midwest. It was like negative 15 degrees in Minnesota
yesterday. There you go. Well, you know, that may take an effect on people. It's true. The cold weather. Sometimes, you know, you tend to lose your senses all across the body.
201-939-4513. Russell's in Fort Knox. Russ, what's up, pal?
Hey, what's going on? Yo, it's crazy. Yeah, you saying it's cold now. Where I'm going is going to be real cold.
Where are you going?
To Alaska in March.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I'm getting stationed out there, my next duty station.
Well, you know what? God bless. Stay safe, Russ, and we appreciate your service.
Yeah. So one caller said the guy I wanted, and they got like on Facebook, we Giants group, we be talking. Pepper Johnson, it got to be him. I've been looking at this dude. He's an ex-Giant. The dude, Buffalo, it's him. It got to be him. I was wondering, like, yo, Pepper Johnson should do it. This guy's hungry. He's young. I think Tom Coughlin will like him. I think the defense will like him. I think everybody else will like him. Pepper Johnson is it. Look at Buffalo's defense. Look, let's put it like this. We know Seattle got a good defense. We know the 49ers defense. And look at Buffalo's defense. Just put it in your mind. This is the Buffalo Bills, and they had a good defense. They even beat Green Bay and had Aaron Rodgers under stress, one of the top five quarterbacks.
Now, look, keep this in mind, though. This is the second straight year the Bills have had a good defense, and it was under two different defensive coordinators. So that might have more to do with the talent than the coaching, just saying.
It's a fair point. Just, Mike Pettine left to go to Cleveland.
It's Pepper Johnson. Get the guy. I'm telling you, we get Pepper Johnson, we're getting back in the playoffs. Hopefully, I'm not going to jinx this one, but hopefully we can get back to a top 10, top 5 defense, pass rush, and everything else. But that's all I had to say. I'm hoping it's Pepper Johnson. If I hear his name, I'm going to be happy. That's my Christmas present, Pepper Johnson.
All right, Russell. Thanks for the
Russ,
call, man.
Appreciate the call.
201-939-4513. Daniel's out in Colorado. Danny, what's up, pal?
How you doing?
Doing well, Daniel. What's up?
First, I want to offer my condolences to the family of Allie Sherman and the entire New York Giants organization.
Well said, Daniel. And actually, we were going to have Vinny the Tranny on today to talk about Allie Sherman a little bit after he passed earlier in the week. But with the news of Perry Field, we decided to push that back. But we will do that spot at some point over the next week and a half or so and talk some Giants history. Allie Sherman passing, obviously, a great Giants coach from last century.
Great. Also, I want to thank the New York Giants organization. Even though they had a losing season, I enjoy football. So thanks to all those folks at the organization there that put in all the effort.
Appreciate it.
Thanks to all you guys at NewYorkGiants.com. Really enjoyed this season. Followed you guys from the beginning.
Thank you.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you.
Now,
sounds like an Oscar speech.
Here's the butt, though.
Here comes
the transition.
But I don't want to see Lance on the show ever again. Get his ass out of here.
I had a little checklist, four little check boxes. Two of them were checked. Coughlin and Perry. Coughlin was a guy you had to keep. He's the most competitive guy on the team, without a doubt. Probably maybe even the smartest. Perry Fuel, sad to see him go, but probably the right thing to go there. The next two, JPP and Eli. I don't think there's a lot to noodle there. JPP is a matter of his health. The guys inside the organization know if he's healthy or not. If he is, keep him. If he's not, well, then that makes that decision pretty clear.
Well, also, Daniel, and
some
something else
there's
that's
some money there. You know, I mean, obviously, if JPP asks for the sky, then yeah, there's you maybe put the franchise tag or something like that on him. But I don't think you find a guy like that really very easily right now. So.
No.
If you can keep him, keep him if he's healthy. Now, with Eli, that's just a no-brainer. He is healthy. He is elite. Sign him. You know, make some room for the cap for this next year. Get him some more years. He's your guy. That's just a no-brainer there. So that was kind of my checklist. Now, for my question is about Perry Fuel's replacement.
Okay.
Can you guys throw out a couple of NFL names and maybe a couple of college names? And I say college because maybe there's a couple of college coaches out there that are looking to, you know, get in the NFL. Is there, a couple of guys out there in college, you know?
You know, honestly, Daniel, I wish I could give you a couple college names. I don't have any off the top of my head. I can look into that for you. But none jump to mind and none that I've heard bandied about as a potential NFL coach. I think it's a good question, and I think it's something that the Giants will certainly look at and explore, but nothing comes to mind right away. But I'll think about that over the course of today, and I'll hopefully have some names tomorrow.
How about a couple of NFL names?
Well, I mean, I think we mentioned some of the names that people have brought up already. Pepper Johnson was one. But again, a lot of these guys are under contract with other teams, so keep that in mind. Vic Fangio, who was the defensive coordinator for the 49ers the last few years. Mike Nolan was on the staff. He has Giant ties down in Atlanta. He was recently let go. Heck, Mike Smith, who was the head coach in Atlanta, was a defensive guy, and him and Tom Coughlin I know are close. So that's another guy that I've heard mentioned. Okay. His name is out there. So those are some names for you, and obviously Steve Spagnuolo, okay, because of his former connection with the Giants. So those are some of the names that have been put out there by other people.
Those are all big names, but like you know, in all reality, I didn't know much about Ben McAdoo until I heard he was hired as our offensive coordinator.
No, of course not.
So is there some of these maybe less-known guys that are, you know, really good and up-and-coming guys that might not be those big-name guys that everyone's talking about?
Well, I think you'll look at what some of these defenses have done during the course of the season. I mean, we're talking about Pepper Johnson. The Buffalo Bills defensive line had a very strong campaign, as well as their secondary overall. I mean, the Bills defense really clicked. So that would be a staff that you'd look at, not just the DC and the line coach. I think you'd look at the entire staff.
The Lions staff.
The Lions staff, correct. Carolina's defense has started to come alive
over
the last few weeks.
Obviously.
Seattle. Now, Dan Quinn, who's the defensive coordinator for Seattle, Dan, you know, he's been receiving a great deal of interest as a head coach. So, you know, I don't know if his name's going to be around there, but a lot of teams have gone in the direction of Seattle over the last few years because of their consistency.
Gus Bradley was one of them, obviously.
He went to Jacksonville,
and
yeah.
What, remember this, though, too. If Dan Quinn does, in fact, get a head coaching job somewhere, that means they're probably going to promote that defensive coordinator from within in Seattle, stick with that system, which means the top assistant on that staff is probably in line for the coordinator job there. Why would he leave the Seahawks if he's going to get that job in Seattle?
And he's familiar with that scheme, as opposed to having to digest a new scheme.
Heck,
and teach
with the
players.
Scheme. You got Michael Bennett, Richard Sherman, you got Earl Thomas, you got Cam Chancellor. I wouldn't want to leave those guys. Those guys are writing my check for me, for goodness sakes.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're going to look at names that we haven't heard about, Dan, you're going to probably look at a guy who's a low-level assistant, perhaps, as an opportunity to move up.
DB's coach, linebacker's coach, something like that.
As John mentioned, if you take a DC from one spot to move him here to become a DC, I don't know if there's a great deal of upside in terms of career management from that perspective.
Well, I agree with you that. I think any of the big names that are looking at the Giants' defense right now have to be, you know, kind of going, wow, do I really want to step into that? And how's that, especially in the big-name market like New York. So that was kind of my kind of curiosity, is what kind of candidate we could kind of see coming into that position, personality-wise and everything else. So, guys, I appreciate your time. And
thank you
very much. Really enjoyed the season.
Appreciate it. Hey, let me just say this. The Giants are going to have plenty of choices here. They're going to have a lot of qualified candidates to choose from, whether this guy's from college, whether he's been a defensive coordinator before, whether he's, you know, a new guy that hasn't been to the level of defensive coordinator, much like Ben McAdoo wasn't an offensive coordinator until he came here. So, Lance, there are going to be a lot of good people coming in here to interview for the Giants to choose from.
Well, because you're at the point where you're so early in the game, John, and nobody's hired a new head coach, you have an opportunity to do your homework and speak to a lot of candidates. However, the tricky part is, and John and I were touching on this earlier when everybody brought up Steve Spagnuolo, is the fact that teams that are in the playoffs, you know, there's not a great deal of flexibility and there's not a great deal of preparation time to get in and speak to those candidates until those teams are eliminated. So, you know, if you're looking for a timetable, a time element, and this is obviously the game of speculation, I'm sure the Giants are going to want to speak to members of the coaching staffs from teams that are in the playoffs right now. They're going to have to wait until those teams finish up. You're going to have another group of teams that will finish up this week, but perhaps you want to speak to a team that gets to a conference championship game or even the Super Bowl. So they're going to, I'm sure, do their due diligence and wait things out to at least speak to everybody they can possibly speak to.
And just in terms of a timetable, obviously this doesn't really mean anything, but just as a guide, last year Kevin Gilbride retired on January 2nd. And they hired Ben McAdoo, I believe, I just had the date in front of me, on January 14th. So there was about 10 to 14 days, 12 days last year, in which it took them to do that search. So I don't think that type of length would be out of the question as they try to replace their defensive coordinator.
One other guy that I'll throw out, he mentioned college potential coaches. You know, Alabama gets a lot of respect and a lot of limelight. Nick Saban, he's the head coach, but even their defensive coordinator, Kirby Smart, just because Alabama's defense tends to model most NFL teams. So if you're looking for a college coach, and once again, purely speculation, you know, I would look for a system that is as close to an NFL system as humanly possible, and Alabama is clearly the first school that comes to mind.
201-939-4513. We got about 7 minutes to go. We got two calls on the line. Let's take them, then we'll say goodbye. Joe in Pennsylvania is next. Joe, what's going on?
Hello, guys.
Hi, Joe.
I remember Spags first came in. How many years was he with the Giants? Was it two?
Yes, he was here in 2007, 2008. Sheridan took over in 2009, and then Perry came in 2010. I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I remember he came in the first few months or first few weeks of the game. It took a while, and then the defense caught on with him. So,
I believe it was around 90 points in 1,000 yards. First 2 weeks.
Early in the season, I have to say, if Coughlin's looking at the tapes, a lot of these running backs were running loose in the tight ends. I hate to say it. And then just missed coverage. And then the final, I think, you look at that Dallas game, how many times was there 9, 10 seconds? And Detroit did the same thing. You got to bring pressure or just run some kind of stunts or something. I was so upset at that. Really and truly, I mean, you can't give players that time like Romo on that. And Detroit made a mistake, too. You got to bring the pressure, make them react, because you give them too much time and it's proven. It just ain't going to work. So, but I don't know if Mr. Mara sort of pushed this like this year. Well, this year the defense is broke. So I don't know if that was pushing it or not on the Tom, but I give him credit for making the decision to go ahead. So that's all I can say.
All right, Joe, you got it.
Able to chime in.
Not a problem. Thanks so much for the phone call. And if you look at Ben McAdoo, it took time, but with change obviously comes a lot of upside because you're going to have a new voice and you're going to obviously go, it goes without saying, have some new personnel. So, you know, that's the positive to all of this, the fact that the Giants are going to potentially get a little bit more creative on defense. They're going to have a new guy who's going to assume leadership, and that could bring about a whole new type of discussion with respect to the defense. So that obviously, I'm sure, gets the fan base all worked up and excited. If you look at the offensive numbers, and offense and defense are two completely things, and I was looking at the 2013 numbers and the 2014 numbers, John, and it took a whole season, but, you know, they made huge strides on the offensive side of things in terms of third down efficiency, red zone efficiency, obviously what Odell Beckham brought to the table.
Yeah, points and yards, the most basic ones.
So there's no reason to think that now a new voice on defense can't at least change things up. And even during Perry Fuel's tenure, let's not forget about this, and I think this is going to get overlooked based on the conversations about his entire career. There were a number of seasons during Fuel's tenure where this was a top 10 defense.
Oh,
let's not forget about that.
Last year, they were 8.
They were number 8. So, you know, it wasn't as if it was a rocky road. Perry Fuel had a number of solid seasons with this defense where they were opportunistic. Plus, they did win a Super Bowl following the 2011 season. So it wasn't necessarily a constant repeat of what the fan base saw in 2014. There were a lot of positives that Fuel brought to the table.
I know people complain, oh, the defense wasn't aggressive enough, whatever aggressive means. And I had a big debate on yesterday's show, what does an aggressive defense mean? And maybe we can talk about that as we move forward here. I think it's an interesting, you know, thing. But people always, one thing that bothers me, and I know people get upset about this, and Kareem, we'll get to you in just a second, I promise. They think that blitzing is some type of panacea that's going to solve every problem you have on defense. And I don't get it. Did you watch the Eagles play defense this year? They blitzed as much or more than every other team in the league. How'd that work out for them? Had it work out
a lot of yards.
Had it work out for the Jaguars, who blitzed the Jaguars did not blitz a ton, but the Washington Redskins blitzed a ton this year. How'd that work out for them? The Rams had one of the highest blitz percentages in the league. The Giants put up a 40 spot on them. All right? So, I mean, blitzing is not some kind of big solution to every problem. If you blitz too much, you don't have the personnel on your back end to help you, you're going to get burned. So I think you have to play your defense based on the personnel that you have. Now, if you have two shutdown corners, and the Giants have in Prince when he's healthy, and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie when he's healthy, two corners that can cover man-on-man, and if you have good safeties that can help you, it opens things up. But the Seahawks are a perfect example. The Seahawks do not blitz a lot. They play a lot of zone defense, and nobody complains. Do you know why? They're good at it. I don't care what type of defense you play. As long as you play it well, to me, that's what matters.
Well, I'll even throw out the Lions defense. You know, everybody looks at the Lions defense and feels as if they blitz all the time. They're actually bottom of the league in terms of blitz percentage.
Yep.
They're not a team that gets off to the quarterback a lot. They fit into the scheme. Guys play well-disciplined football, and that's why they were so successful. Plus, they upgraded the secondary. James Ahedebo, who was brought in at safety, was not with the team a year ago, and he obviously made a big impact on this defensive scheme this year.
Final call of the show is Kareem in Staten Island. Kareem, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
Hey, how are you guys? Love the show.
What's up, Kareem?
Appreciate that, Kareem. What you got?
You know, obviously, Perry Fuel brought us the Super Bowl, which is great, but I just think that, watching every Giant game in the past couple of years, for some reason, the middle of the field just always seemed to open. You know, how many times was Brent Celig, Jason Witten running free on 3rd and 15 with a big conversion over the middle of the field? And I think, you know, that was our biggest weakness with Fuel's defense. What are your thoughts on that?
I think from time to time the middle of the field was a problem. Does that have more to do with Perry Fuel's job as defensive coordinator or more with the fact that the Giants had to shuffle linebackers in and out a lot the last few years because of injuries and, you know, things like that? I think it's a fair question. The middle of the field was a problem from year to year, but why was it a problem? Was it the scheme or was it, you know, the talent? I think that's a fair question you have to ask.
And just one more thing, if I can get it in. Coach Coughlin, the reason I'm surprised is because, as has been mentioned on this show, when you get a new coordinator, it takes time to adjust. And John Mara made it pretty clear that it's a do-or-die year for the Giants. So it's a bold move by Coughlin getting rid of Fuel because there will definitely be those growing pains.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the call, my
Appreciate
friend.
Appreciate the call, Kareem. Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Thank you, man. 201-939-4513. Great job on the phones today, everybody.
And before we wrap up the program, it was just announced Calvin Johnson has dropped out of the Pro Bowl. So Odell Beckham Jr., first alternate,
nice.
Is going to the Pro Bowl. So congratulations to Odell Beckham Jr.
And that's not a surprise.
Be heading to the All-Star game in the NFL.
Usually you have a lot of these starters drop out and the alternates will get an opportunity.
Correct.
So good for Odell.
And he deserves that, absolutely.
And it'll give the Giants a chance to see one of their own in the Pro Bowl then. The week before the Super Bowl in Arizona. It's not in Hawaii this year. I know a lot of NFL players.
No, they have it in the Super Bowl location.
So what are they doing next year? Have they announced that yet?
You know, I'm not exactly sure their game plan. We'll have to hold that off to a new BBKL program, and we'll break down the ins and outs of
the Pro Bowl?
Pro Bowl schedule. I'm sure that will entice the fan base. We could open up a Q&A on Twitter, the pros and cons of having the Pro Bowl at the Super Bowl destination versus Hawaii.
You know, your sarcasm is not very well hidden.
Yes.
Just saying.
I know. Well, I'm glad because I wasn't trying to hide.
Okay, good.
So apparently mission accomplished on that note.
Why don't I even ask you to come in to do these shows anymore? I don't even know why.
Well, clearly 2020's hindsight. But
thank you, Lance. And
you're welcome.
I already betrayed one of my 2015 New Year's resolutions. I just hosted a show with Lance.
There you go.
Everybody, thanks for joining us for Lance Meadow. I'm John Schmelk. More on Giants.com later on the Giants coaching changes. And we'll have more on it tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live at noon on Giants.com. Tune in and hang out with us. See you then.
Have a good one.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, he gets on punch. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.